What's up, everybody? Hi, welcome. Welcome to the George Mossy Show. I'm George Mossy. We're going to be talking about episode 19 of season 7, Before the 90 Days. Guess what? I have a special special announcement. Kara is going to be back with us tonight. I know it's been a hot minute since Kara was here, so I'm excited to have Kara back with us. I hope everybody had a wonderful New Year. I think it's my first time seeing everyone since New Year's, right? Hey, the Diva Speaks. Hi, Jao. Yeah, Kara's coming back tonight. We're going to discuss this finale. What's up, Paul? Happy New Year, bro. We're going to be discussing this finale. We're going straight into the tell-all next week. So we're going to get into that. Judy's here. Mao is here. Yeah, so episode 19, the finale was tonight. We're going to get into that. And the tea that was spilled yesterday, that information with Jasmine. So Jasmine is pregnant, guys. The information was a bit shocking. We'll touch on that a little bit tonight too, but Shabuti and I will do an after show tonight after this show. Baby, and the baby daddy is not Gino, so there's that. But yeah, we're getting into the finale information episode tonight. Hopefully we'll have a little more time, but like I said, afterward, Shabuti and I will do a little after show on that. Hi, happy New Year.
Missed you. Happy New Year.
Missed you too. I like your background, by the way.
Too bright?
No. Okay. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm jealous. Now I'm going to have to figure out how you did that so I can do it too. So, I actually love it. So, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome back. We missed you greatly. I'm so glad to see you back.
I'm glad to be back.
So,
it was a rough New Year.
Real quick, Jasmine's pregnant. That's the news. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit with you because I know you've been gone for a minute. Are you surprised that she's pregnant?
Yeah, actually. Because I think she's really like 55 and just says she's younger.
Well, she's been 36 and 37 for like 4 years.
Right?
So a lot of people were questioning like, oh, she can't get pregnant. Guys, there's been on record women in their 50s and 60s that were able to have a child. So it's very not, a lot of people were saying, oh, that can't be possible. For her, at her age, it's very possible. A lot of people were just shocked because, first of all, she has two kids already, right, that she was working on getting here from Panama. So they're just like, oh, you can't just start a new family without, so yeah, there's that. But also Gino not being the father, a lot of people were shocked, but I wasn't, obviously, because they made it very clear at the last resort tell-all they weren't having sex. And I don't know if y'all paid a lot of attention during health class, but in order to have a child, you have to be having sex with the person. So that was surprising.
I'm sure her kids in Panama feel like shit.
Well, I know they miss her greatly, right? Because she made it very clear on the show she was very, very close with both of her sons. And Juanse was on the show with her. So I know that this news has to be a blow, you know, for the boys because they've been waiting to be reunited with their mom. And, you know, as a child who was, when my parents divorced, I was 3 months old. And it was always my dad's other family and then my family. So I can totally understand the vibe and feeling that these boys are going to get because it was never just my dad. It was usually my dad and his wife or my dad and his other sons or his other kids. I never had that opportunity of having one family. So I know how the kids must feel because I live that. I know what it's like to want just, you know, for my 8th grade graduation, it would have been nice if it was just my dad, but no, he had to bring his wife and his other kids. You know, I never got those moments. And I know that the boys are gonna feel that too.
It's so sad. So sad to me.
Yeah. And I think we'll get more into that later, but let's talk about this. First of all, this was episode 19, the finale. How did you feel about the finale? Was it everything that you wanted? Was it not what you wanted? Was it boring? How did you feel?
I'm just so glad it's over. This has been the longest season ever.
Oh, sorry. I'm reading Pineapple's comments. She said, I was 39 when I got pregnant, not through any type of infertility, at a high risk, and it was destigmatized because of my age. Yeah, for some reason, people want to tell women like that are over 35, they can't get pregnant. We need to stop that. That's not true. The risk factor is higher and the fertility rate is lower, but it's not impossible. So yeah, we do need to stop that. But you're right though, Kara. I felt like this season dragged on. And okay, I'm gonna be real. This was what I tweeted out today. I want to know who Joey is related to that works for Sharp that put him on the show, because why were they there? His dad is clearly an executive for one of these companies, because I was watching their scenes, because we got more of Joey and Magda tonight than any other episode, because, you know, they had to wrap up the season tonight. And every time they came back on the screen, my disappointment level got higher and higher. And I was just like, oh my God, not more of Joey and Magda, because in every scene, nothing has happened. Because I was going back and I'm thinking like, so since they premiered on this show, what have we watched? It was him going to Poland. We met his family and he lied to her and she got mad. And then it was just rinse and repeat.
Yep.
He lied to her, she got mad. He lied to her, she got mad. He lied to her, she got mad. And I was like, who's your dad? Is your dad like the VP of Sharp? Is your dad Matt Sharp himself? Does your dad owe Warner Brothers a favor? Like, how did you weasel your way into this season? Because I was like, I know the drama with other couples. Like, Tiger Lily and Adnan, there wasn't a lot of drama, but just her ignorance was enough to carry the interest throughout the season, right? Like, we were just wondering, what is this moron going to do next, right? But for me, I really was trying to unpack, who do you know and how big of a favor did you have to pull to get on the show? Because I just don't get it.
Yeah, I said I didn't like Magda from the beginning. I said my opinion might change throughout the show. It did not. I still can't stand her. There's something about her, and I don't know if it's just because she's putting on an act to be on the show that makes me not like her, but I just can't with this couple. I absolutely cannot.
Well, they were on before the 90 days. The purpose of the show is because you're going to get married and begin the visa process. And, well, I'm sorry, get engaged. The first step, you would get engaged. Sometimes, like we saw Niles and Matilda, they get married on before the 90 days. But a requirement, you have to at least get engaged, because that's starting the process. Because before the 90 days is a literal term. It's before your K-1 visa, right? Yep. They didn't even do that. So the fact that they were even there, and a lot of people are saying they're the fill-in couple, because the Shitty and Renee situation fizzled out very quickly. They needed
season, to be honest.
Well, right. That's how long it's been since Chitty and Renee were on the show. So I'm beginning to think that this was a fill in. But did we need the fill in? I felt like we had enough to work with. There was enough couples and enough drama to go around that we didn't need Joey and Magda at all. The whole thing was a waste of time. And I pray to God we don't see them again.
Me too.
Because that's what people were saying. Because my theory was, Magda and Joey were, at least Joey in some capacity was going to be back, because everyone they invited on the boat were people that I felt were going to be reused. So Vanja was on the boat. Joey was on the boat. Kimberly was on the boat. Somebody else was on the boat too.
Maybe he was related to someone, like you said, and that's was just there, the plus it one. Because
it has to be nepotism in some way.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be.
To bring him back.
Or maybe his dad made a really good business opportunity and he was able to pay a bounty. You know, he was able to pay the fee. Like, you know how Will Smith, when he wants his kids to do something phenomenal, he'll put like a big down payment down, and all of a sudden his son had a movie, and then his daughter had a hit single, and then his son had a song with Justin Bieber. It could be like that situation. Maybe his dad just has a shit ton of money. And Joey wanted to be on a show, and his dad was like, let me make some calls. You know, like, I can make that happen. And this is what we got. Because still to this day, I can't even imagine what would, like, because I tweeted out, I was like, whoever the storyboard editor was who put this through to editing and signed off on it was like, this is good. Let's put this in the final cut. Shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Just fire them.
Right? And I'm like, get out of here. Oh, thank you, Lily, listening to the podcast before bed last night. Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, Shibuti too. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, Brian and Ingrid were also on this season. You're right. It does feel like a long time ago. Both of those stories fizzled out quickly. Yep. So maybe they felt like two couples didn't last the full season, so we need to add a fill-in. And that's where we got Joey and Magda. But again, I had this conversation before in the other podcast. Why are we doing these 20... episode seasons anymore. If you remember back in the day when the show first premiered, 12 episodes and one tell-all. That's all we did. We got it all done. We don't need a 20 episode season. And then I think the other way, this past other way, was 24 or 26 episodes. We were watching it for half a year. We don't need that. We never asked for that. Right? We never asked for that.
Do we know yet if this is only a two-part tell-all or if they're going to torture us with more?
I do know that it is a two-part tell-all. So, they won't be giving us like the... I think the single life is where they went off the deep end and there were seven parts. Right? Yeah. And that I think they listened to the memo. We told them, stop it. Yeah. We're not asking... You know, we love the franchise. We like the drama. We're not asking for that. Seven parts. There was only 12 episodes or 11 episodes in the season. And then you want to do a seven-part tell-all. Don't do that. Stop. Yeah. Whoever is doing that behind the scenes, pull them in the office and terminate them.
Yes.
They're not doing what their job is. We're doing a two-part.
If you don't have to fire them, send them my way. I'll fire them
for you. We'll do it live on the podcast. We'll get our witnesses will be the listeners. Like, if you need us to do it for you, we'll do it. Stop with these ridiculous storylines. Stop with these 20-part tell-all. It's not needed. Okay, so Niles and Matilda are married. Hey, bestie. Kim's here. Hey, bestie.
Kim.
So Niles and Matilda had sex the night of their wedding, and he made a really vile comment. So cover your ears, guys. He said, don't shine a black light in the room. So I'm assuming that things got pretty crazy. Yes, Kara's back, Kim. Aren't you excited to see Kara? I'm so excited to see her.
Kim, I'm so happy to be back.
So Niles also revealed that he has a job. So he got a new job while he was in Ghana, one of the positions he interviewed for. A lot of people are speculating what's going on with them because he made a promise to Mr. Ark and her family in three months. He was going to try to come back and bring her back. And then he said tonight it could be years, which is a more accurate time.
He also said, I didn't do my research and I should have. And all the way through the show, we said, does this guy not do any research?
Well, in his defense, he thought he wasn't getting married on this trip. But again, I'm a information guy. So I like to have as much information in front of me just so I know what the right direction is. Yeah. So like, even if I'm not planning on doing something, I still like to do research in different directions. Like, you know how you're planning a trip and then you're like, oh, well, if I drive, if I fly, if I do this, I'll have like different directions of ways that I can take that journey. I do feel like he should have at least did a little bit of research because I don't think that he even qualifies for the financial part of the visa. And if he would have did his research ahead of time, he wouldn't be over in Ghana making all types of promises to people and borrowing money from people. And he never actually would have qualified to even do that. Oh, also, they went out to eat. Oh, hey, Kim, just so everyone knows, Kim and Misha are on Pillow Talk tonight together for the finale. You know, Misha from Misha and Nicola. And they're on together in snowy Minnesota. So if you guys are up and still watching for Pillow Talk, make sure you catch them. I love both of them. I love them.
Kim too. Moore.
So cool. Niles and Matilda went out to eat after their wedding. And I tweeted out, how did they pay for that? Remember, he had to borrow money.
I thought that too.
He had to borrow
money. He was saying how he got fired and they didn't give a reason. And she doesn't believe him. Oregon is the same way. Oregon is a no-cause state. I can walk in and fire anybody for any reason.
Oh, yeah. She thought he was lying about that.
Yeah.
But it's true. Because I've worked in at-will and no-fault states before. And I've been in management for years in those states. And yeah, I could just come in, take the person off the schedule, take them in the office, and hand them a sheet of paper and say, you're no longer employed. Yeah. And I didn't have to. They could ask me for an explanation and I could just have them removed from the premises. I didn't even have to give. So yeah, that's a real thing. I don't think that Matilda's familiar, you know, with how those type of laws are. These are horrible laws, by the way. Like, I mean, somebody can work somewhere for like 10, 20 years and then you just come in one day and you're fired. Sucks. Because we, as human beings, we look for closure in situations. We need a reason why things happen.
Yeah, so, but I'm not gonna lie, George. You know what's been going on with me at work, and I've had the pleasure of saying, okay,
I'm
done.
Saying for people that show up every day and do their job every day, it sucks. I remember I told you I used to manage a gas station when I was really young, and I worked 26 hours straight before because it was a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days operation, and people would call off, not show up, want to leave early. I worked 26 hours straight. So when it comes to people that I used to work with, I would fire. To be honest, I didn't even tell them half the time. I just take them off the schedule, and they figured it out. Yeah. The next time they came to work, they weren't even worth my breath at that point, because I was working my hours and their friends' hours. So yeah, I totally understand your situation as well. When people don't respect the privilege of employment, then yeah, I don't really care. You know, yeah, you have to respect the privilege. It's not a right to be employed, it's a privilege, because for some reason in this country, there's usually more people than there are jobs. So it's a privilege to get a job, right? And you have to respect that.
But I'm wondering if Niles's anger had anything to do with him getting fired, because remember in the beginning he said something about having anger issues, and then when he told her to be quiet, he got that weird look on his face, and then the preview for the tell-all where he's in Odnong's face. I'm wondering if that has something to do with it.
I was thinking, but that
still, well, I still say we have to protect him at all costs. I still love, well, him.
You know, I think with his condition, the way he handles his feelings and in social situations, sometimes he might not be able to fully control that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why the diagnosis exists. That's why, you know, we tell people that this is going on, because autistic people don't always have full control over their emotions and what they say and what they do. And a lot of times they might feel bad afterward, but they're in the moment, right, they don't have any control over that. So it's very possible that he said or did something that the employer found to be out of line or out of policy. It is what it is. But I think it's scary too, because he's now taking on the responsibility of a wife. And if he does apply for a visa, he's going to be taking on the responsibility of taking care of her. And I'm not 100% sure that he's stable enough to take care of himself.
Right.
You know, so I worry about him biting off more than he can chew, and then being stuck in a situation that he can't get out of. I mean, it's very possible he could go back home and just never go back over there and get her. That would be an awful thing. But I do believe that he really does love her. He really does want her here.
Yeah.
And I think that would not, it would free him from the situation, but that would destroy him as well. Because he
have to do all of this K-1 stuff by himself. He's obviously child, his parents don't support him, he can't afford an attorney, so he's gonna have to, it's gonna be a tough road for him.
Well,
to
yeah,
here,
look at Gino tried to do it all on his own, and he made many mistakes. You remember all the times he had issues, he forgot to file for things. You know, being a fairly intelligent person is not enough when it comes to these types of applications.
I would never do it on my own. Never.
I'd be terrified. Just like when you do your taxes, like if you have a small business, I would be terrified, because one small mistake could cost me losing everything to the IRS, right? Absolutely. Because just one omission of mine that wasn't even intentional could ruin my entire life.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, I would want someone qualified to help me in that process. And I worry that he doesn't even have his parents' permission or authorization or blessing even of what he's doing. And that's hard to do. Living without your parents' approval is hard. Like, we watched Sonny tonight lose his dad completely tonight because he chose.
So Vaya. I have so many feelings on this.
Well, I want to hear your thoughts, because a lot of people online are pissed at Vaya about it. So I want to hear your thoughts.
I'm pissed at the dad first and foremost.
Okay.
So Sonny said straightforward that his dad wasn't even around most of his life.
He did.
So now
he was in a whole other country.
Yeah.
He was in a whole other country. Not just around, he was in a whole other country. Yeah.
Right. So now he's expecting to just step in and make rules. I'm sure in their country, I'm sure that being a strict Muslim, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. You're not supposed to leave your family and just go do whatever the hell you want and then come back and ask them, oh, you know, everything, you need to answer to me now. Also, I can't with his eyebrow. I cannot.
Whoa.
But anyway, I'm mad at him because he didn't even give Vea, like, he didn't give her the time of day to begin with in their first meeting. And her getting up and walking off, I can't blame her. You come at me for my tattoos, you're not gonna like what I have to say. But if you start telling me what I have to do to see the person that I'm seeing who has portrayed himself to be someone completely different online, she already made Rory go home. Like, she's been through a lot. And then you put her in this position, and then you let the dad attack her, and you sit there with your tail between your legs because you have to respect your elders when your father didn't even respect you enough to stay around. Like, screw that. Screw that guy.
I don't disagree with you. I think that he, for a lack of a better term, is an ass. He's an asshole,
Absolutely.
basically. He's just the way that he was able to dismiss his son like he was nothing. It irritated me and bothered me because Sonny was like, I need this man in my life. I need my father's approval. And he was just like, don't ever call me again. Goodbye. It just really bothered me because a parent who loves their child can't dismiss their child no matter what they do. I've watched the news and there's people who are on trial for horrible things and their mom is still in the courtroom, okay? Supporting that child, knowing that that child did something awful. They still are going to be like, well, they're still my kid. I'm going to support them even in their mistakes. And he also kept referring to the engagement and Veya as a mistake. And I was like, that's really judgmental and nasty to say, you know, because people aren't mistakes. I mean, a decision can be a mistake, but a decision can also be a lesson. You know, it can be a learning experience for anyone involved. It can be a learning experience for you. You
But
know, like
also,
as for the father.
when she asked, "Do you even know what anxiety is?" and he says, "No, I don't know what that is." Didn't ask for an explanation, didn't try to learn, just doesn't know, doesn't care.
Well,
And she's over there suffering from it.
I think in a lot of countries, I didn't realize this until more recently. A lot of countries, because I think we touched on this a little bit with Sharper, when Shekinah wanted him to go to counseling, they don't like to even dabble in the mental health area in some places. They just don't believe in it. And, you know, growing up, I grew up in Louisiana. And you know they didn't really like to acknowledge it, like not to that point of it doesn't exist or they look down on you for it, but a lot of places don't like to acknowledge the mental health stance. You know, they're like, oh well, if you made a bad decision you just made a bad decision, or if you can't learn as fast you just can't learn, right? They don't acknowledge it. And I think that for the dad, like mental health wasn't even a factor for him because in his world he doesn't acknowledge it. It's not that I don't think he doesn't believe it exists, but I think some people don't acknowledge it as an excuse. And I think for Veya, I know a lot of you have done your research on Veya. Veya's been through a lot.
So
So when she
much.
discusses her mental health, there's a reason. There's a very good reason why she
Very
reacts
good.
and she does the things that she does. A lot of people are like, oh, she looks like she's, I don't even want to get into the things that y'all have said and alleged about her. It's not that. The things that she's been through is the reason why that she acts and behaves in these situations. And I think that the dad, like you said, he didn't care. He was just like, well, I just don't like you. I don't approve of you. And I don't care what your story is. And that showed me they don't see people as human beings. Like if you're not a part of their religion, their clique, their people, they don't even see you as a human. They don't want to know why you're hurt or why you're the way that you are or what your story. He really didn't care. And I think that's what bothered me the most in the whole situation. And also, people on Twitter took the stance. They were like, well, why did she take it upon herself to need to blow up Sonny's relationship with her dad before he left? Because remember last week, he was in the car. He said, let's not tell anyone. Let's keep it under wraps until we have more of a plan. Like, until you apply for the visa, we know when things are going to happen. And then a lot of people were like, she was super persistent on going over and telling the dad and making it an issue. I don't understand why she did that specifically because he kept saying, my dad just needs time. He'll come around if I had more time. He would have, you know, things grow on people, decisions, anger, reactions, they calm over time. So I think Sonny was giving good advice. He was like, well, let's not put too much on him too fast. And it seemed like Veya was being really like persistent on like, well, let's go over there and get him to accept my apology so we can move forward. And I feel like maybe she should have took her behind back to Florida and they should have figured things out before they revisited that open wound. You know, sometimes when a wound is open, you don't go and rehash the issues. You kind of let it heal first and then you start, so it's not such a big blow. Because I think the dad is very closed-minded. He's on the ignorant side. I'm just going to be real. He's kind of ignorant. So I think dropping too much on an ignorant, intolerant person too fast isn't going to get the outcome that you want.
See, and I agree, but I kind of feel her vindictiveness, if you will. So in their first meeting, when they're talking and dad's like, your tattoos, those are unacceptable. And she's like, well, Sonny likes them. And in other words, I don't give a shit if you approve of me or not.
Yeah.
I'm here for him. Yeah. So whatever you say doesn't mean two shits. So then she leaves and comes back engaged. Here, let's just rub some more salt in that wound. Now you can really shut your mouth. Yes. Because look at me, I'm winning. And I mean, I kind of don't blame her. The first meeting with you, if you come at me sideways, you bet your ass the second meeting, I'm coming at you head on.
Yeah, like, I feel like she definitely came there with guns drawn. Because yeah. It was more so she wanted to, I guess, revenge. You know, like she just wanted to say, you talked to me crazy. You said I didn't, you talked about my weight. You talked about my looks. He said she looked tired.
Yeah.
Rude. She also said that her tattoos were terrible and need to be, like, so I get it. She came back to say, hey, remember all of the things that you said and how you disapproved? Your son is still going to marry me. And I think that's what she went in there to do. But I don't think declaring war on his family is the best way to enter into a marriage, right?
I'm vindictive enough, I would have said something about his eyebrow and his forehead.
I think the end result goal, you would want him to have a relationship with his dad. I think that's the only part that bothered me, was she won, obviously Vea won, but now his relationship with his dad is gone. And I feel like...
But his dad chose to leave and not have a relationship to begin with.
You're right. So you're right.
Sorry, man. You already burned that bridge. Like, I'm crazy enough, I'll light the bridge on fire while I'm standing on it just to show you. Don't mess with me. Like, come on.
I know. He messed. You're right. He messed with the wrong girl. And she was like, okay, you're talking to me crazy. She went back and she showed him who was in control. And she won. She got his son. And, you know, I just, respect, I worry about
respect leaving because both ways.
You're right.
Respect is both ways. And he didn't earn any respect. He didn't give her any respect for her to return the respect. Instead, she gave him what he gave her, and he didn't like it.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. All right, so I want to talk about Yoshiko and Vanja. So we finally got an explanation, right? We've been hanging in the balance for a minute, and we found out that, okay, two parts to this. So in a conversation between Vanja and Yoshiko, she mentioned that she didn't like the idea of having kids and kids running around her house, and she doesn't have a house set up for children. You know, a person without children, they live in differently than people with children, right? Like, they don't have large items, you know, up really high up. And
I'm calling bullshit on this. This is TLC editing. And let me tell you why I'm saying that. This guy's such a piece of shit, first of all. When he came to Florida to visit her for 10 days, she did a live on TikTok. And they were showing where they had planned on setting up the crib and everything. She was so excited to have this kid. So that's bullshit.
Yeah, he said that she had no motherly instinct.
Yeah.
Which I'm not even sure how you would know that about a person in the short amount of time that they were together, right? So they were together for like, what, maybe a week or less in Croatia and then 10 days in Orlando. How would you really know if that person, because there are people at different stages in their lives. Obviously, if you meet a 20-year-old, she's not going to have the motherly instinct of a 35-year-old mother. And I think being a mother is a stage in your life. It's not something that you're born as. It's not something that you are. And most people, when they hold that child for the first time, they instantly become a completely different human being. You know, the person that they were before, that person is no longer around when they hold that kid. So when he was like, oh, you have no motherly instincts, you couldn't be a good mother, I thought that was almost the lowest of a blow that you could say to someone, because
but, played on her emotion with that. So when he was saying, you're the one, blah, 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 when they were in Croatia, her fears, she vocalized her fears with him. She said, what if I'm not a good mom? What if, what if, what if? And yeah. He's looking for a way out. So he grabbed the one thing that he knew was just a knife in the back. And that pisses me off because she's an amazing person.
Yeah, I said tonight, I feel like her only downfall is she sees the good in people where there's no good. And I think that's her huge downfall, because even after she showed up and she met Bojo and saw how much of an idiot he was, she still was able to find good. And then even after this guy breaks, he basically calls her and he's like, you're needy and all, like, and hangs up in her face. She still figured out a way to find the good in that.
Yeah,
and I think that's her only downfall. She's too much of a loving, caring, and understanding person that these douchebag men are able to get over on her. Because any normal woman, if a man said that to you, first of all, he would have to pick up his teeth off the ground. Second of all, there's absolutely no chance you would reach out to him again and ask to see him or talk to him. That would be the end.
But also on her live TikTok, she said that after her and Bozo broke up, he reached out to her three different times. One time invited her to lunch, one time invited her to go bowling, and another time to do something else. And she declined all the times, but still talked to him, still stayed in communication with him.
Right.
And that was when they were done filming, but she was still in Croatia. She does try to find the good. She does forgive easily, and that's why she gets walked on.
I hate to say it, but when you leave your heart open, people completely rip it out and step on it and destroy it.
Yeah.
You have to be standoffish and you have to know your worth and value, and you kind of have to stand up and tell people what you will and won't accept. And I think with Vanja, she doesn't set those boundaries. So people think that they can say whatever they want to her, do whatever they want to her, treat her however they want to treat her. She doesn't set the boundary that you can't.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm very interested in a woman who's going to tell me what I can and can't do in a relationship, because boundaries are how real bonds are made.
Yeah.
That's how a relationship is built. You know what is acceptable, what's not acceptable. Like, if we go out and I don't call you for 2 days, if she doesn't like that, I expect to be berated, right? I expect to hear from her like, hey, if this is going to work, you're going to call me and you're going to text me that you're alive. You're not going to just decide that I'm... And I think Vanja doesn't set those boundaries. And I think she's so set on being married and having a family that she's skipping the steps before that. I think that she finds a guy and she's like, he's attractive, I can tolerate him, let's get married.
Yeah.
And I think she's skipping all of the other steps. There's the very important step of getting to know the person, finding compatibility, and just seeing who they are on the inside. She skips all those steps because she, for some reason, she thinks that her time is running out.
Yeah.
She's not even that old. She's 41 years old. There's nothing wrong with finding the right person at 41 years old. There's people who get married in their 60s. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know why she feels like she's on like a ticking timer to find the right guy. You know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that she's successful. She's got a bunch of jobs. She knows what she wants. She's educated. She's beautiful. She took time to be the person she wanted to be. Now that she's ready to find a man, she's got to slow the hell down.
Yeah.
Find the person and take your time. Everything is too fast. Kind of reminds me of Magda. Everything is too fast. She just wants to find a guy and get married right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get the timeline. I get what you want. You set a goal and you just work towards the goal. The goal isn't going to just happen tomorrow. Right? Yeah. Like, it's kind of like when you enroll in college. You want a degree, but you're not going to get it for 4 years. You're setting the goal and you're working on the steps. And you just have to be patient. And I feel like Vanja's out of patience. And that's how she's ending up with D-bags. She just doesn't have the patience to find the right guy.
And it's so sad, because I had high hopes for them. I mean, for him, so they meet in Croatia. At first, I was like, okay, that's not, you know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, the thing that really pisses me off is the fact that she was celibate for 6 years. She held that close to her heart. And then he comes all the way to Orlando, makes her think, you know, if he traveled all the way here to see me, you know, she had to go see Bozo. He traveled all the way here to see me for 10 whole days. And then she gave it up. And then he ghosts her. What a piece of shit.
I mean, the way that he tried to end it, and then, you know, okay, so that FaceTime call that we saw, you know, 150,000% producer set that up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They needed a little more footage to end the season. He had no interest in speaking to her ever again. Okay. He told her, you're needy, I don't want to deal with you. He hung up in her face. He probably blocked her. So the producers got a hold of him, and they set up this FaceTime call. That's the only reason why we saw him again. You know that. Yeah. And a lot of people are saying that he saw it as a fun fling, and that's what it was. And I don't disagree, but I also feel like since she ended her virginity, her celibacy streak with him, she was way more invested.
Absolutely.
Because she was saving that. Because she said on the show, there was plenty of times she could have easily had sex and didn't. So the fact that she waited for so long and then ended it for this person, she was so invested in this person that she would literally overlook a lot. Because she's like, oh, well, we have this bond. And I was like, well, not really. Y'all didn't really know each other. You know, like, you spent a week with him in Croatia, 10 days with him here. You don't know the person. You know, like, I got clothes older than your relationship. You don't know the person. You know, like,
absolutely.
So I understand what she thinks and feels, but in actuality, he was a stranger, and this stranger showed his true colors on TV. We all can see it now, and it is what it is. I just feel bad for her. I definitely feel like she's the one person left in the world that believes in love, right? Because nobody, you know who else did? The late David Murphy, who was part of the 90 Day Universe, who passed away. He still believed in love. He believed that there was a woman out there for everyone, for every man, every woman, or whatever sexuality you are, there's someone out there for you. A lot of us don't believe that. Vanja did, David did, and I hope she finds it, but sometimes when you are so caught up in love and marriage and you skip the dating part, you might be setting yourself up for failure, and I feel like she sets herself up.
I do too.
Well, Judy says he's a Neanderthal. I like that word.
Yeah, he is. That's very fitting.
Oh, Pineapple says they're grooming her for the single life. That's very, very possible, because from what I heard, it is casting right this second, actually. So it's very possible this was a setup. They kind of did that with Tyrae with the end of his season, because they tried to get him to go out on a date, and remember, they wanted him to meet the person at the bar. Nothing happened. They were grooming him for the single life, and they got him on the single life. It's kind of a textbook of, oh, this didn't work out, but she's a fan favorite. People really love her. So, oh, is it David from the Ukraine? Yes, ZS's mom. It was David who had the Lana from the Ukraine. He passed away a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, we lost him. He had some health complications. So we found out late last year that we lost him. Very good guy.
He
also always saw the good in people, right? He went to see Lana so many times, and she stood him up so many times, always looking for the good. And I say it's a blessing and a curse. When you can find the good in just about anybody, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because if you find the right person, they might love you forever, or they might screw you over. Right? Like, you never know how it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I want to talk about Tyga Lily, because we found out, I have to tell this story, and it's not even going to sound real. Her apartment lease ended, and instead of renewing it like any normal human being who claims to be rich and drives a Lamborghini, she loses the apartment, moves into a hotel with her children, pregnant. Make it make sense for me, Carl, because I've been running it. I've been running it back through my head, and she says she drives a Lamborghini, which is a very, very, very expensive vehicle, right? Very expensive. Uh-huh. You don't see them every single day. I don't think I've seen one in my neighborhood. I see Cybertrucks. I see everything. I don't see many Lambos. So she, instead of renewing the lease, because she's like, oh, well, we're going to get a house. And then they showed a picture of the cabin that she bought, and it looked like a disaster area.
Yeah.
It looked like a bomb went off, and then it burned down a few times.
Yeah.
That's her house.
Yeah.
I'm trying to follow along, because she's been selling to us since season one. She's rich. She bought a $30,000 rent or watch. And Adnan's this filthy rich guy, and they're just swimming in money. They're like Scrooge McDuck. They got this big tower with gold coins. And then she moves out of her apartment with her kids into a motel or a hotel or whatever it is. I'm lost. And then
it's
she's
funny
saying this.
Because that episode where she did the pregnancy test, I said that looked like a hotel.
That is, you know what? That is exactly what you said. Because yeah. I was like, that looks like in a one-bedroom apartment. You were like, actually, George,
yep.
you were like, that looks like a hotel room, a junky yep. one. That's exactly so what you said.
Been in a hotel for a lot longer than she's putting on.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I'm beginning to wonder how much of her lifestyle is real. Okay, so yeah, this Raquel says, so she buys a $25,000 watch in the first episode, allegedly, but doesn't own her own home. That's what I thought, right? Yep. Like, if you're gonna buy, if you're gonna drive a Lamborghini, which is the cost of a home, and you're gonna buy a house or a watch that's the cost of a down payment of a home, you should have a home.
Absolutely.
And I don't know very many really, really rich people that don't have multiple real estate investment properties. So the idea that she didn't have anywhere to go, Tiger Lily, what's going on?
Well, she,
like, what's really going on? There
isn't something on her freaking hair extensions and eyelashes that she gets from Temu.
Well, you know, also the glam team that she said follows her everywhere. How come after the wedding, she's been looking like she's been run over yeah. by a bus on every episode?
Yeah.
Not even doing makeup. Have you noticed that? Like, her makeup yeah. isn't even done. She kind of looks like she just rolled out of bed and then immediately a bus ran her over and then they start filming. But okay. Why is that?
This girl is so dumb. So she says she doesn't want Adnan's brother to have his power of attorney because what if he takes out a loan? Okay. You can't take out a loan
with the power of attorney.
That's right. Not how it works, you dumbass.
But again, how would she know? A power of attorney means that you can make decisions that are financial for that person, meaning if a bill comes in his name and it goes into collections, you can negotiate that bill to be paid on their behalf. Like, there's yes. only certain things that you can do with a power of attorney.
I had power of attorney over both of my parents. It's
well,
and unless my mom wrote in there that I can take out as many loans as I want in her name, or a loan in her name. Nobody's gonna put that in a freaking power of attorney. She's so dumb.
Do you remember, Cara, when we first met her, I was convinced that she was pretending to be dumb. Do you remember? I kept saying it.
This is all real. She is really dumb, George.
You told me, because you were like, "Why? What gives you the impression that this is an act?" And I was like, because I don't think it's possible for anyone to be that dumb. It's just...
No, she's really that dumb.
She is. She's a moron. And yeah. I feel bad for the babies. They need... When I saw the two of them, they're like, oh, baby, we're having a baby. It's gonna... And I'm like, I'm worried about the kids now. Like, who's gonna... Between yeah. the two brain cells, between the two of them, who's gonna be making the best decisions for these babies? That's what I was thinking. And it's like, Adnan claims that he's very, very successful in Jordan. Yep. I can't verify that. But the wedding that they had was very, very nice. I think somebody, one of our listeners or viewers, did the math. They said that was about a $10,000 or $12,000 wedding. And was it our money or their money? I don't remember. But they did the math and they said that that was a pretty decent wedding for the standards of a Jordan yep. wedding, is what they said.
I think so it was converted to our money.
So like 10 grand. Yeah. Which, you know, it's funny, in America, a $10,000 wedding is kind of a shotgun wedding at this yeah. point. You're not going to have a lot. You're not even going to have a vegetarian option.
Yeah.
It's just chicken. Like, for $10,000, you're not even going to get that much. So I'm beginning to think maybe Adnan might actually be successful, because now that I'm seeing how broke Tiger Lily really is, because remember you didn't agree with me. I thought Tiger Lily paid for the wedding because I thought she was rich, because that's what she was making us believe. Now I'm beginning to think Adnan is the one with the money and she's reverse gold digging Adnan. That's what I actually think is going on, because now that I see that
this post-nuptial agreement she's having drawn up, I'm very interested to see the terms and conditions of it, because I think that what she's living on here is strictly child support from her rich ex, because now she's married, so there's no spousal yeah. support. No yeah. alimony, none of that shit. Even though the marriage over there isn't recognized here. But still, there's...
Well, the second he finds out, he's going to file that petition. I guarantee you, once he finds out, because like you said, it's not recognized here, so our courts might not have gotten the notification.
Yeah.
But somebody told him, and he stopped paying her. I guarantee you, because let's just be real. I don't care if you're on good speaking terms with your ex-wife or not. If she's married to somebody else and flaunting it everywhere, you're not going to be paying their rent. I don't care if y'all are on good terms or not.
I'll screen record that shit, take it into the courthouse, and go, look, she married this child over here, this super wealthy child, and look, she's spending my child support on a watch, and she's saying it on TV.
On TV. Like, so you would, Kara, you would go in there and tell them to do it retroactively. You'd be like, she got married on this date, so she owes me this much money. Like, give me my money back. Because I don't care how good of a term you're on with the baby mother, you love your kids and you want the best for your kids. But if they're misusing the funds, and either she's misusing the funds, allegedly, or she's just pretending for TV. I haven't figured out what's going on.
So because that baby that he posted and then deleted, that was actually their son.
Yes, it was. That you're 100% right. Guys, the picture that Adnan posted that Kara's talking about, it was a picture of a little cute baby, actually, that he posted. And then within an hour or two, it was deleted. Yeah. That was the son right around the time he was born, actually. Yeah. And then producers told him, take the picture down. So the picture was down, but it got screenshotted. It's on Reddit if you really want to see it. The baby's really cute. He posted the picture and everybody was speculating, would he really do that? Is it really their kid? It was.
Yeah.
He did. But we're again, two brain cells between the two of these people. Yeah. Okay. Literally two. Maybe one and a half. Maybe they're sharing a half of brain
cells. I don't know if I'd go with two full. I don't know.
Okay, so Raquel, we're not 100% sure that Adnan is wealthy because the only source that we have that he is wealthy is him and Tiger Lily, who both lie. So we're not sure, but I think since the wedding, if Adnan isn't wealthy specifically, I think at least his family is wealthy.
Also, another lie about her Lamborghini. Okay, so she said, there's two things that she said that told me that that's a lie.
Okay.
When she's announcing the pregnancy, when the pregnancy comes up and she's like, oh my God, it's positive. Like, how am I like gonna fit a whole nother car seat? First of all, you don't need more than one car seat because you have two children that are not in car seats. Second of all, Lamborghinis are two-seaters. Why do you drive a Lamborghini if you're a mother of two? That does not happen.
The thing she was driving on the show is an SUV.
Uh-huh.
So, hold on. Now that you brought that up, now I need to check something because do they make a Lamborghini SUV?
No.
Hold on. We're about to find out. Let's check. Because now you might have actually figured it all out. Because the thing that they showed her pull up today in the park where they were looking at the swing sets was a Lamborghini, was a SUV. Okay, yeah. So she drives, hold on, she drives one of these. One of these.
Yep.
So let's get a price. Hold on, let's get a price. I mean, it could be leased. It could be leased though, but let's just see.
There's no way.
You can get a used one for $169.99.
There's no freaking way.
It's very possible that she got one on a loan and she was using her spousal support to pay for it. I mean, $169.99 isn't crazy.
Okay. But if that's the case, okay, let's say that this is actually what she drives. How many does it seat? I need to know how many it seats.
Oh, hold on. I can figure that out.
Seating capacity 5, which means you would have room for a car seat. So you're full of shit.
Yeah. This is the back seat here. You see it? There's two seats, and then that thing in the middle comes up. So you could put a car. I mean, can you put a car seat in the middle, though? Because it doesn't look like a full seat in the middle.
Either way, you can still put two car seats in the back.
Oh, yeah. Fit two and then put one of the kids in the front.
Yeah.
Right.
Put one in the trunk for fuck's sake. You don't even like them.
I mean, but also there's like these apps called Zipcar and Zorro where you can rent a car and you're just renting from like other people. So like people who own these type of cars, you can just rent it. Because a lot of, I don't know if y'all watch Love After Lockup, but a lot of the people on that show, and Unexpected, they do it too. They rent like an Airbnb, and then they rent like a really nice Mercedes SUV just Magda, on the filming day.
Magda rented an Airbnb and a car.
You're right. Magda did it too. So We don't know if any of this stuff is actually Tiger Lily's. She could be renting it off.
You're actually living in a hotel. I'm sure your car isn't real either.
Well, that's what threw me. Because I was like, I've been listening to her BS all season. But I was like, when you tell me, she's like, oh, well, my lease was up. And I was like, well, if you're rich, you have kids.
Yeah.
You just renew your damn lease. And if you have to move before it's up the next time, just move. You're rich.
Also, you're carrying knockoff Louis. Like, first off, who carries a knockoff Louis when you're rich? Second, if I paid $30,000 for a watch, you bet your ass you're going to see that in every single episode I'm ever in.
Yeah, that caught me. Who puts a knockoff Louis in a Lambo? Also, Shelly, that's true. The hotel had a microwave but not a kitchenette. How does that work when you have kids? How do you cook for your kids if you don't have anywhere to cook? See, I have a billion. Now that we've opened the can, now I'm really wondering what the hell is going on. Does she even have custody of these kids? Because we've never seen them.
I doubt it.
See, now I have a billion questions. At first, I just thought she was trying to portray herself as richer than she was. There might be more to this, actually, than we're putting into it. I think there might actually be way more to this story. We'll figure it out. You know us. We'll figure it out. Just give us enough time to use Google, and we'll figure out what the hell is going on.
Yeah, but she doesn't know how to use Google, but we do.
I mean, I don't even have to take a course to figure it out. Google is just easy to use. I don't know where she's been for like the past 15 years. Okay, so you are the best person to find these answers. I have faith in you. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, though, you should have more faith in Kara. Kara finds stuff way faster than I do. I'll message Kara with like the smallest minuscule amount of information about something, and I'll be like, what do you think about this? 20 minutes later, she has like a name, social security number, address, color, hair color, mother's maiden name. Like, you would not believe the stuff that Kara can find with very, very small amount of information. It's almost
and
scary.
Part FBI. What did you
yeah,
I'm a find-outologist. Find-out. That's my career.
Find-outologist. She is. Yeah. I'll literally message her and be like, we should look into this. And then the next time we talk, she's like, here's my 15-page report. And there's like all this. I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, so this is how the CIA be finding people. It's you. Right. It's you. Okay, so that was it. That was episode 19 of Before the 90 Days, the last episode of the season. We're going straight to the tell-all next week. And Veya was not in studio for the tell-all. She put on her story. She wasn't there from health reasons. I don't know what that means. It could mean mental health reasons because, you know, Veya has been through a lot mentally. A tell-all is a very high emotion.
But when I saw her on the tell-all, she didn't even look like her.
She had the pigtail thing going. Yeah, I saw that too.
Her face is done. Like, she's had some work done. So I'm wondering if it's maybe a post-surgery thing.
Oh, that could be. I mean, because once you have those surgeries, some are minimally invasive, but they do have a recovery. I remember we watched Lauren and Alexi do her minimally invasive, and then she literally was bedridden for 6 weeks. So it's very possible.
Speaking of Lauren, I hope she's not on Pillow Talk tonight. I cannot watch her with those braces anymore. I just can't.
I don't know if she's on. I know Kim and Misha are on. That's all I know. But I don't know.
I'll fast forward past Lauren.
We'll figure it out, though. Because she also said on her story she's writing a book that's going to answer all of these questions. Why she wasn't there. What's going on with her health. All the things in her past that people were looking into, she is going to write a book. But again, I don't know how long that's going to take. Writing a book can be a very drawn out process.
Yeah.
But she promises that it's all going to be in there. So I hope we can get some of the information we need at the tell-all. I don't want to wait on a book, you know? But also, Adnan was in studio, which we knew already. He's been in Texas for a while now. So he's going to be in studio for the tell-all. Wait, there was one other thing. Oh, Brian was there, and he made a weird realization accusation tonight about Ingrid. He said when she rejected him from doing oral, on the show, he said she just stopped and said, no, I'm not comfortable. But on the tell-all, he said, stop, I have a boyfriend. Did you see that?
That's the case. The show should have ended right there. He's so full of shit.
That sounds made up to me, right? Why would you not say it when it happened, but say it now on TV after everyone has said really nasty stuff about you. You know, like, that sounds completely made up. And I hate that Ingrid has been dragged so much for doing this show. He's called her a prostitute. He said she's a bad mother. He's called her an opportunist. I really, really hate the way she's getting dragged for dating the wrong guy. And it's not even that she dated the wrong guy. He just lied about who he was. She thought she was dating a decent human being. He just lied about her. And now her name is literally being dragged through a mud swamp just because she associated with this moron. So I can't stand this guy. But
and Vanya hugged Lauren, and now I feel like she's got cooties.
Or gonorrhea, the illness of the horse. She probably, just the illness of the horse, we're going to call it what it is. But and I have to ask, remember, I said this on another podcast. I was like, I feel like Lauren probably has a smell about him. So now I need to ask her when she hugged him what he smelled like. I don't know. Ever since I saw him cooking in the bathroom, I just automatically assume that he has like a stench.
He either smells like the back of my grandma's closet or patchouli oil. One or the other.
I think it's the closet. I feel like that's closer to it. It's like a stale, older, like musky, mildewy type smell. Right? Like, I feel like that's the vibe I get. I don't know if it's true. I'm going to ask Vanda. She hugged him. She was close enough to know what that smell was. What's up, DJ Newmark? All right, guys. So we're going to wrap. I'm going to be on the podcast with Shibuti a little later on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more about that Jasmine situation that is developing. But we will be back tomorrow. Actually, we're going to talk about the Last Resort next episode that's coming up. So far, we haven't seen Darcy. She's supposed to be making an appearance this season. We're 5 episodes in, no Darcy. So I'm assuming at some point we're going to get Darcy. And I think it has to do with the fact that her and Georgia are supposedly broken up. So I think that that's what's going to happen. Can't be positive. I don't know, but I think that's the vibe we're going with. But also on New Year's Day, Eve Day / Darcy, Stacy, Georgie, and Florian, we're all together. So if that answers anything for you, it probably does. They were all together in the same picture and everyone looked like they were happy. So don't believe everything you see on TV, guys. Sometimes it's just there for a reason. Yeah. All right, go. So follow my co-host Cara. I'm gonna tag her in this video. Old anal blood smell. Donna, that is
I'm telling you.
That is very specific, but very accurate. I think that you're right. And if he slept
also,
on your couch,
I'm a little concerned that you know what that smells like.
Well, I'm assuming, you know what? Okay, follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Any Rickish podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.